This is Pendulum, Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the Clown Convention this week at Circus Circus. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau sitting across from me.
Good morning, Mr. Gillette.
Good morning, Lance.
And good morning, Zeller.
We're here at 866-313-FREE. That's 866-313-3733. And, you know, normally we don't even get around to calls. We just give the number and forget about it. But Jack, the big cheese here, our boss sitting in the other room, he said, why don't you take some calls today? Why don't you take some calls? So we're going to take calls.
People want to talk.
If people want to talk. If no one calls in, we won't take calls. If you call in, you have a good chance getting on the air. I'm just trying to give them false hope.
I am.
Like a Mexican doctor with Coretta King.
Well, let's jump into that. What the heck? Is that where you wanted to go?
I'm just dispensing false hope. You know, a lot of the media does these, you know, little things. We'll get a psychic on and say they're cute and they can see auras and things. It's nothing. And they think it's just good radio or good TV, and they'll take it really lightly and joke around with it, and they'll act like they believe in this stuff. And they think there's no downside. They think, so what if people believe in it? So what? One of the most important women in American history, Coretta King, ends up losing her dignity down at some cheesy Mexican alternative hospital.
South of Tijuana, on the beach.
There's nothing wrong with Mexico. But, I mean, all the alternative medicine, there's alternative medicine stuff in the U.S., too.
Sure.
We can't act at
all. Guy had some trouble in the U.S. and apparently had opened in Mexico to avoid those troubles.
Yeah.
So,
And so Coretta King
went down there.
Dies in Mexico at an alternative medicine thing instead of with some sort of dignity at home in the United States, which is where she should be. Nobody we could be more proud of than Coretta King, and she dies in Mexico at the hands of who could possibly be quacks. I think you have to be careful what you say. I don't think you can actually say. We could not be sure from here. We don't have the medical expertise to quack, 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 like a little duck all over the place. But
apparently ducks could sue us if we say quack. There's nothing we can say that contains the word quack.
Have to be very careful. Also, on a more important note than the death of a great American, Frosty the Snowman a couple days ago. As long as they keep as long as we have a contract with Free FM, we'll be talking about Frosty the Snowman. There's so much analysis. We are not qualified to talk about
the medical situation of Coretta King, yes.
We're also not qualified to talk about Frosty the Snowman. Third, I went crazy talking about the carrot nose.
Yes.
Frosty the Snowman had a button nose.
Yeah.
Clearly. I'll read the transcript to you. The transcript is right here. Frosty the Snowman. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose. Third line, the transcript states button nose. I was talking about grabbing the...
you got pretty excited about the whole carrot nose idea.
I did. And then he's also got a corncob in his mouth, which also... corncob pipe in his mouth, which also ruins another one, I think. But we're done with Frosty now. I'm spent today because I'm just recovering from Gilbert. Gilbert was a lot of yelling.
Was there anything funnier than Gilbert?
There was a lot of... There's nothing funnier ever than Gilbert. Nothing funnier ever than Gilbert. And I'm glad they used the pull thing, you know, that when the advertising in New York, they used the pull thing of Gilbert doing John and George doing Who's on First. You know, you hear Gilbert other places, and he's always funny, but I think you got to let him go. Let him go. Let him run
wild.
Free. If dogs run free, why not Gilbert? They got those puppies in New York, I guess, where they were sewing up.
Some drug smuggler was
sewing heroin into puppies.
Yeah,
The problem, of course, with that is with the drug laws. Take away the drug laws, make things free. They don't sew Big Macs into puppies because they're legal. Although, sewing a Big Mac at a puppy, that's an image that I shouldn't even come up with.
That's just a party.
Very, very, it's very unpleasant. The big news is the Muslim cartoons.
Well, I thought the big news was that they have actually recovered. The dogs have recovered.
Yeah, yeah.
They've performed surgery on the dogs, and now the dogs are drug-sniffing dog.
No, one dog is being trained as a drug-sniffing dog.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's going to make it.
He might not make it through the training, that's true.
Might not make it through the training, but he is doing that. And that just shows you, you know, when you have, when you make something illegal that people badly want, and is you know, if you live in a free society, you're allowed to put anything you want into your body. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, no one could be more anti-drug than me. You know, no one at the Slammer, you know, there's no alcohol here. I do not like dope smokers at all. I mean, person, just one puff of marijuana, I don't want to be around them. It's one of the reasons I don't like to go to, you know, to concerts.
Right.
It's just being surrounded by marijuana.
Sure.
I want everyone, including me, maybe especially me, to be smarter than they are. And there's all these drugs that make people stupider, and I just don't enjoy it. But it certainly is their right. And speaking of rights, it is certainly your right to make fun of Muslim characters in a cartoon. And I think that it's humiliating and horrible that our State Department made a statement today that they should not publish the Muslim cartoons making fun of Muhammad.
It's just crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, if you were going to have freedom of speech, that's what you're going to have. And this is the problem with the whole Muslim thing. Is if you have rules, like the Amish, let's take the Amish for example, you know, who don't want to use radio remotes,
right,
and all of that, that's rules they have for themselves. So they can coexist very easily with us. But they're not trying to get everybody to start
throw away your remote. Jews are not mad when we're having bacon for breakfast.
No, Jews.
They're not threatening our lives because we like bacon.
Jews will serve you bacon, sure. You know, maybe they don't do that. But, you know, but the idea that nobody can do this. So, okay, you're not allowed to depict your religious figure. You know, you're not allowed to depict your imaginary friend in any way. Fine. Good rule. I'm still gonna do it whenever I want. And that's what freedom of speech means. But that's not the angle that I find interesting. I think you can open any editorial page in the United States, and any editorial page worth its salt is gonna come out for freedom of speech. I mean, this is really a no-brainer. The angle that I want to take is that the Muslims being against these cartoons and calling it, they use this phrase, calling it cultural terrorism.
Wow.
Is a real plus, because now we are battling the knights that say knee. This becomes a Monty Python situation, because they say, we're going to strap bombs to our women and children and send them in, and we say, we're going to make big billboards with ugly caricatures of your gods. And they go, no!
Knee!
But that.
Knee!
Knee!
We're driving them back.
We drive them back with
T-shirts. If we had T-shirts.
If you blow up more of your people to kill us, we are going to make another 10,000 Muhammad the Prophet T-shirts. And we're going to give them out for free at Slayer concerts. That's what we're going to do. Or maybe, you know, maybe we'll give them out. Maybe Britney Spears will wear one. How's that? And she'll be jiggling under your prophet. Put that in your hookah and smoke it, huh? Put that in your hookah and smoke it. So I think this could be a good thing. The other thing
that... We even got an email about it. I mean, we did. Helen wrote in and said she's glad that the European nations are getting on the bandwagon, and publishing the cartoons depicting the prophet with the bomb instead of in turban. And other cartoons as well. If every nation did this, it would make it pretty hard to boycott them.
But they're going to retaliate, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to retaliate. The Pakistan president just stated Wednesday that if similar cartoons continued, he would have no choice but to televise an animated series that mocked Western icons.
Oh, no.
The title? South Pakistan. They're going to put out some. See, if wars were fought that way, you know, if it's now going to be, you know, Trey and Matt against their cartoonists to make fun of icons.
We got them.
We got them. We will win so hands down.
Do you think
the killing people that I don't feel good about.
Do you think Saddam Hussein has seen their depiction of him in Bigger, Longer, and Uncut? Yeah. Because I think. You know, if you want to get some torture, let's just run it in his cell.
Yeah, just run it over and over again. I think, you know, when you've said, I mean, it's kind of like when you're a kid if a certain sound, if you're a teacher, mm-hmm. and you go, don't put your fingernails on chalkboard, it makes you crazy,
right.
they all run up and do that. What I believe, what I know about Western culture, and as you know, I was born in the USA. What I know about Western culture is if you say, no, no, please, please, we've been killing your people, but don't draw pictures of our prophet. It's kind of, I almost wonder if they want cartoons and they're using reverse psychology. Don't throw me in the briar patch. I don't know. It's just so goofy. And this does not show, and I want to make this very clear, because we're going to end up having to apologize for this. And I want to say very clearly what I mean. I'm not saying that they don't have a right to their religion. I'm saying that I cannot be forced to respect it. And it's a very different thing. You can have a Muslim show on radio in the U.S. talking with as much piety and respect as you want about all the tenets of Islam. And the wonderful thing is, in the marketplace of ideas, there can also be Frosty the Snowman rant and whack jobs who can just laugh at you. You know, and when they try to control what we can laugh at, they don't have a chance. They've already lost once they said, don't draw pictures of our prophets that make you laugh. South Pakistan. That's what we're gonna get.
South Pakistan.
No one has called yet.
Maybe you should give the number again.
Everybody agrees 100%. 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. And this is important because we were told, why don't you take some calls today? And you don't want us to have the answer because there were no calls. We also have somebody that's running interference. So maybe all the calls that are coming in.
It could be.
Say, go back to that Frosty talk. and New York is trying desperately. Let's just nip that in the bud. Don't give them any more impetus to talk about Frosty. Had enough of that. The postal worker that shot all those people and then shot herself, they said that before that, this is an article in the New York Times today, before that she was acting crazy. She was acting erratically. And one of the things she was doing that made her act erratically was she was praying.
That's one of the things that they noticed?
They noticed her praying, and this should have been a warning signal. Now, when George Bush was praying about the war in Iraq, shouldn't that have been
minors.
A warning signal?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and the
warnings.
Everybody's praying for everything. That is a warning signal. And in one case here, I agree with the New York Times that that is a warning signal. No one should be stopped from praying, but when someone starts praying, be ready.
Well,
could,
you know, a
could
lot of
be
people,
craziness following. Could be
know,
nuttiness following.
Son of Sam said God was talking to him. I mean, that...
Well, didn't Son of Sam say a dog was talking
to him? Well, a dog, but God threw a dog. I'm Liz Dex, I guess. It was God speaking to him through a dog.
Was God talking through the dog?
I think that's what he believes.
Yeah, someone could call in and tell us that. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. What else? Oh, the nickel, this new nickel that came out?
Yeah.
The new Jefferson nickel made its debut last month with
That's
two.
Great.
There's two, and I'm a
That's
big.
Jefferson, sure.
I am just queer for Jefferson. I just love him. And, I love him being on the nickel, you know, all over the place there. Two significant changes. Jefferson has seen full face, not in profile, which is huge.
That's right.
Whole life seen in profile with good hair. some people have ponytails still. You know, Jefferson still has a ponytail.
Sure.
It's not out of fashion for someone who's been dead for 20 years. Jefferson has seen full face, not in profile. And in deference to the great man, the motto on the nickel is no longer "In God We Trust," but it's now "Cut It Out." You know, how could they put "In God We Trust" over the face of a great man like Jefferson?
Did he rewrite the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah, he rewrote the Bible, taking out all the supernatural parts. He was, Jefferson was a deist.
And it was down to a folder?
It's down to a folder, yeah. He just kept the good parts. Good parts or don't kill. End of story. A rule, incidentally, that a lot of the people who believe in the Bible don't seem to believe, but don't kill is a good rule. I'm all for that. And then the rest of the Bible I have quibbles with. But, you know,
You're
not
okay
as many quibbles
okay.
as we had with Frosty the Snowman. Boy, Gilbert was funny. I just keep thinking that. Everything I say, I go, boy, Gilbert was funny.
We have an email from Carl. He says he would wear a prophet T-shirt at a Slayer concert.
He would, sure.
He would. Sure. His other quote is, "Islam has jumped the shark." Which is a That's a great phrase.
That's a great phrase.
Carl, you're a genius.
Carl, you know, I believe that cartoon is going to go into public domain quickly. I say you go to one of those companies online that just make your T-shirts and then you say, take the cartoon and then put above it, Islam has jumped the shark, and the next Slayer concert, try to sell them. I think it'd be great. But I think it'd be better getting that T-shirt on bouncing breasts is even better. You know, a couple people to the Gmail, penradio@gmail.com, penradio@gmail.com.
Sure.
PENNRADIO@gmail.com. We have gotten some people that send us topless pictures. So those who are sending us topless pictures, which we really, really appreciate, maybe you could do like the cartoon drawn on there.
Let's clown make them.
If they want to escalate, oh, we got a phone call that we want to take.
Never mind.
The jive ones are gone. Here's a real one. Jason, you're on line 6 to talk about the Muslim cartoon. Lay it on us, Daddy-O.
I think we're going to get him. It'll take a second to get there.
Okay, good. Line 6?
We'll get to him.
You there?
He's on line 6. No, we don't have him.
We don't have him.
We tried to take more calls.
We tried, Jack. What else you got
matter.
In the... you got a... what's his name? Marco? Is that the guy?
Mario.
Forgive me. Mario.
Now you've done it. He says, if he can make it out here, how far away is your house from the airport?
Okay, Mario. But for those of you who don't know, Mario is the guy who wrote in. He's going to boot camp. And he thinks that if it were to get tough, he'd think back on this. Mario, if you can get your ass to the Vegas airport, McCarran Airport here, I will either send someone to pick you up, or I'll pick you up myself, or I'll pay your cab fare. If you get here in time to come out and hear our show, you can sit right in the room with Casey and Jack, and you can groove in there. Maybe they'll Jack, you there? Yeah, you can, I want to be able to see you on the thing. Jack, if Mario comes in, will you stop on your way out to the Slammer and pick up some Krispy Kreme donuts? Would you do that?
Yeah, he says, yeah, thumbs up.
Okay, so, Mario, cool. Now the pot is this thick. You get yourself to McCarran. Someone will pick you up at the airport. We'll have Krispy Kreme donuts, and you can sit there while we do the show, and then we'll also get you. We'll bring you to the casino and then leave you off, and then we'll get you tickets to the show. You want to give him gambling money? Is that what Jack, if that gambling, how much?
Ten bucks?
Ten bucks
each, though, right. Okay, $10.
Jack and Casey will each put in $10 for you to gamble. So you got $20 in gambling money, Krispy Kreme donuts, get to see our show, hang out with us, and then you can see the Penn & Teller show one night, and if you're over another night, you can get the Lance Burton show.
That's right. And you know, you also got an email from your wife just now that says, stop spending Moxie's college money.
Yeah, I'm spending Moxie's college money. I can afford to give him cab fare out from the airport. Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette will do fine. And also, I don't want Moxie Crime Fighter Gillette to go to college anyway. Not that it's my say, it's her say. But, you know, I didn't go to college. I'm not a big fan. We are going to come back, take some phone calls at 866-313-FREE-3733. That's a big Penn Gillette show. And if you don't like today's show, just repeat some of the stuff Gilbert said yesterday in your head and laugh about that. Goddamn. Yeah, Mario. Well, now, just so you know, we're now maggoty with phone calls. We are maggoty with phone calls. Maggoty with is a Newfoundland expression.
Really?
Last night, some Newfoundlanders who came to tape me. They were doing a TV show.
They came to tape you just before they beat you? They taped you?
No, they're all for me.
Hands behind your back?
I'm totally Newfoundlander.
You're good
now.
With the Newfoundland.
Totally in with them. I'm just down with them. We are maggoty with phone calls. But I want to say, before we take the first phone call, and we will very soon, is to say that that Jack came running in during the break, and he said that the $20 he was going to give Mario had to be gambled. It had to be gambled.
Here in the state of Nevada.
Had to be gambled here in Nevada. He does not want him taking that money to boot camp or to another country. It stays in Vegas like all the gambling money because we do not want to pay taxes. Take some phone calls. What do you got? I don't care what line it is. Line 12, I guess. No, let's do line 8. Whatever you want. Puppies or... why don't you just, in New York, just hit a button. I'll take any call now at all. I don't even care who I'm talking to.
I don't even care.
Not at all.
Okay, well, why don't we do line 5?
Okay, line Johnny. 5. Let's take Johnny.
It's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Perfect.
There.
There he is.
Is that Johnny?
Yes, it's me.
How you doing, boss?
Good. Listen, the guy canceled The Simpsons. Now I'll take our poo off the show.
They're going to have to kick the one Muslim off, are they?
You think they should do that?
Hell no. In World War II, they had Bugs Bunny saying, kill those Japs.
I mean, is that how terrible? I mean, when you have people killing you, aren't you allowed to at least make fun of them?
Everybody gets their jokes. The Jews, the Christians, they all got jokes about each other. It makes the world go round.
Absolutely. I like this guy. Anything else to say there, Johnny?
I like the new nickel, too.
Thanks a lot, Johnny.
Right,
Johnny.
Now I'm looking at it.
Okay.
I think we should go to Amir on line 13,
okay,
if that's possible.
Amir on line 13.
Because his name is Amir, so he might have a different perspective. Hi, Amir. How are you?
Hey, boss. How you doing, man?
Good. I'm fine, thanks, Ben. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Listen, I wanted to respond to your comments about the cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. The reason why people are so offended, I mean, I'm offended, and as a Muslim, I'm offended, but the main reason is that the cartoon really spreads misinformation about Islam more than anything else, and that's what offends me. You know, the Prophet Muhammad never sanctioned violence against anybody. You know, so to use his picture to kind of create that image really spreads misinformation about Islam at a time when, you know, correcting those stereotypes are more important than anything else.
I could not agree with you more, but am I misunderstanding all the news reports, or isn't there in the Middle East violence about this, and aren't they saying that the actual depiction of Muhammad is the problem? I mean, your point of view seems very sensible to me, but are you saying that's the point of view that everyone has?
No, I think, frankly speaking, if there was a positive cartoon about Muhammad, there would be a lot less people comparing the two things and saying that, you know, it's so bad that they're depicting his face in a cartoon. I think the real heart of the matter is that there's misrepresentation, you know, of Islam, and I think that's really why people are really up in arms, you know,
There's no doubt whatsoever that a racist and ethnic cartoon that spreads misinformation, whether that's the mammy cartoons and all that stuff that was out for other kinds of racism, or even the redneck cartoons that depict white Americans in the wrong way, all of those are bothersome. But do you think it's the kind of thing that you want to burn flags about? And don't you think that by coming in with gunmen to the cartoon place, pulling guns, the cartoon place, the newspaper, don't you think that pulling guns is doing more for the stereotype than a cartoon?
Yeah, I mean, I agree
stuff
with
on
you.
The news,
I mean,
the
it's
stuff
kind
on the
of,
news
it's
looks
kind
like
of a radical
Muslims.
Response.
What's that?
I mean, I agree with you. It's way too radical. I mean, it creates just a poor impression of Islam if you're going to go with a gun to object to something like this.
But
I mean, it's a hot button thing, you know, for Muslims to see something like this. I mean, even people who are unstable become even more unstable when they see something like this.
Yeah, but remember, I don't think you can be responsible for people who become unstable. I mean, you can't blame John Lennon's murder on J.D. Salinger writing Catcher in the Rye. Even if that did push David Chapman over the top, you cannot blame the artist for people who are unstable. If we start doing that, then there's a lot of people who you have to blame all their violence on the Quran or the Bible or anything like that. That's a very slippery slope you're starting there, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know what? The cartoon was not drawn with the intent of humor. The cartoon was obviously drawn with the intent of stirring up controversy. I mean, let's see, every one of those newspapers that's airing that cartoon has increased its subscription. Obviously, it's more than just about humor.
Right, but that is also their job in a free market, to increase their subscription. And once people burn flags and pull guns and make a big deal out of it, they are, you know, if you're talking about giving the impetus to unstable people, they are then giving the financial impetus to run that cartoon, because I didn't care at all about a cartoon in some jive London paper until it starts having this, and now I'm inclined to want to see it, and I don't believe I'm alone.
No, you're probably not, but at the same time, and it's almost like, you know, these newspapers have a responsibility to try, you know, they have a civic responsibility as well, and I think it's really very irresponsible of them to print something that's such a hot button issue, and that they know will stir up so much controversy.
I'm totally with you on the racial and ethnic thing. It's only when they say, and they have been saying this heavily, that their religion forbids the depiction of Muhammad, because you have rules that you feel strongly about, does not mean I have to abide by those. That's the only place I disagree with you. But when you're talking about the depiction, and also I don't know if it was meant to be funny, but still, if someone feels in their heart that Islam has been hijacked and is becoming a terrorist religion, and the way they want to express that from their heart is to draw a cartoon, that seems like it's also part of the dialogue. It seems like when you have people in the name of Islam perpetrating violence, that someone is going to answer back, and maybe a cartoon is a more reasonable way in the marketplace of ideas than guns and violence and burning flags, perhaps.
But I don't think that this was an addition to the marketplace of ideas. If anything else, it's sort of spreading the idea that violence is sanctioned under Islam, which is not true at all.
Right, but that idea, I think, was more spread by the terrorists than it was by a cartoon. If you did not have the terrorists doing and killing in the name of Islam, that cartoon would not exist. I think this is clearly a case of holding the mirror up to nature. If, you don't see a cartoon of Buddha with a terrorist helmet,
yeah,
with a bomb
sure.
on his head, in order to upset the Buddhists, because that wouldn't make any sense. And the fact that it makes sense, I think, is the fault of the terrorists that are doing this in the name of Islam. If you want Islam to be seen as a peaceful religion, it's not the cartoons you want to stop. It's the people who are killing other people in the name of Islam is where it should stop, I think.
No, but I agree with you fully that that Muslims are doing as much to misrepresent their religion as anybody else. I totally agree with you there. But let's face it, the media is also a major outlet for influencing people's viewpoints about the religion. So if the media has a choice between running a cartoon that spreads misinformation and not running it, I think it becomes sort of incumbent upon them to check whether they should air it or not,
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, that cartoon is going to do a lot less than the videotapes we've seen of people dying and suffering and other people dancing and taking credit for it. I think that's where the problem is. But if all Muslims were as sensible and well-spoken as you, I think we would all be able to laugh off that cartoon. I think it would be nothing to us.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks an awful lot, man.
And you know what? I'm with him on the boycott and the cheese thing.
I'm eating
the Gouda.
I'm totally with the boycott, and I'm totally with that phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way things should happen. The way things should happen is with conversation and with art and all that stuff. And as soon as it crosses over to physically hurting people, no matter what your point of view is, you are automatically a bad guy. I mean, I think that's it. We want to take another phone call? Do we have a couple minutes? We can take another phone call.
We certainly do.
I don't care. Pick one.
Line 14. Let's talk to Joe on line 14.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, boss?
I'm doing well, Penn. I'm really enjoying your show. I just started listening to it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
I think we only started a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, obviously.
You were right on it then.
I wanted to comment on what the previous caller said. And I first want to qualify myself by saying, I don't think Islam is necessarily a religion of violence or teaches violence, but if you look at the history of what Muhammad did, he was a violent man. After he got kicked out of Mecca and gathered his followers together, he came back in with an army and conquered the city. So to say he never advocated violence is a falsehood. Maybe it's not in the Quran, but the history of the religion is very violent. And I think the moderate faction of Islam needs to do more to distance itself.
That, absolutely, and I believe Amir, who called before, agreed with you completely on that. And I think that I agree with you, Joe, that maybe the cartoon isn't the issue. It's the Muslims that are in favor of peace and kindness, making that a lot clearer to the whack job faction of their religion.
Exactly. Judaism went through the same thing. When Moses brought the Jews together, they slaughtered the Egyptians, slaughtered the Palestinians. But over time, the people go, hey, maybe thou shalt not kill means let's not kill anybody, managed to prevail out.
Well, there's no doubt. My point of view would be atheist, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, not hurting other people seems to be something we should all try to get behind. Thanks a lot, Joe. We'll be back right after this. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas talking to the world. Is that enough phone calls for your ass, Jack? You know, my conscience was bugging me a little bit during the break there. When you want to bust a religion on a history of violence, not only does certainly the Mediterranean religions have a history of violence, Judeo-Christian Islam.
Sure.
But also, if you want to talk about a history of violence, atheists have about the worst track record in the 20th century. When you say the abuses by China, Japan, Russia, the Cold War was against atheists, which I believe is one of the reasons atheists got such a bad name. I mean, if you were talking in the 50s with McCarthyism, I would be making that a mere phone call. I would be saying, you know, just because there's the Red Menace does not mean that atheism is necessarily a belief system of violence. I would be saying that.
Right.
And I believe, you know, the way history was going, had it not been for atheism being aligned and adopted by socialists and communists, I think we'd be much, much better off. So we have been in, atheists have been in the Amir position, and
sure,
I have a great deal of sympathy for that. But that having been said, trying to say that the Quran is a book of peace,
sure,
and gentleness is a bit of a stretch. Do you have a Gmail?
We have an email from Damon. And he says, even a cursory examination of the Quran reveals the demand that those who do not convert to Islam must be killed. So there are all kinds of examples of violence demanded by the Quran. Those who say Islam does not advocate violence are lying. It may prohibit violence on other Muslims, but it definitely requires violence for infidels.
Right.
And in their minds, infidels, anyone who isn't Muslim. So,
right. But Amir would make the point that it should be allowed to evolve the same way Judaism,
sure,
and Christianity
does. Sure.
And we're allowed to evolve.
Yeah.
And
the Old Testament is full of a lot of kill,
sure,
the other guys.
Sure.
So.
And I will say, I'm against all of that. You know, I'm not a religious guy. And
arguing with me. I'm with you.
But I want to make this clear. One of the reasons I'm not religious is because of all the violence done in the name of God. The fact that somebody prays, has God talk to them, and then goes shooting up a postal workers and then killing themselves. I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence and a lot of bad comes out of that. Do you want to take some more phone calls? I just want to tell you that the phone call thing, get it out of your system.
Okay.
Next week, we've got Chris Angel coming in on Tuesday, Kinky Friedman on Wednesday, Bob Korn Revere on Thursday. I have so many questions to ask them, I'm not going to get to yours unless it's coincidental.
We ask people to write them in, and we have them.
We have questions because I like to be able. But right now, it's free
phone call day.
Friday. It's casual Friday. Call up 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, 3733.
Okay. Let's go with Bob on line 5.
Hey, Bob.
Bob's in Maryland.
Hello, Mr. Judge.
There he is.
How are you doing, sir?
Pretty good. Something I found a little amusing this morning about this issue.
Uh-huh.
On CNN, they showed the cartoon, and they had pixelized the face.
So you wouldn't be able to recognize it.
Yeah, I guess if they don't know it's Muhammad, they wouldn't be offended.
Well, what would be the difference? There aren't any pictures of Muhammad. It's... You know,
I mean,
there weren't cameras.
The Quran clearly states there will not be photographs of Muhammad until the late 19th century, doesn't it?
I believe those are the exact
words. Something like that.
They pixelated it?
They pixelated the face.
Oh, that must be...
But it would still be Muhammad. I mean, it's just an interpretation. The pixels is valid as an interpretation as any.
It's bowing to a religion halfway. One of my favorite Debbie Harry lines, a case of partial extremes. You know? Yeah. That's just insane. Well, thanks for telling us that, man.
Crazy.
That's just...
Thank you for taking my call. Goodbye.
Thanks, man.
Bob.
If you had to find something crazier than Islam, you found the CNN
pixelating.
I mean, that's a level of politically correctness. I mean, if you're going to violate the basic tenets of one of the world's largest religions, you can't do it half-assed. Man. Okay. What did Fox do with it? I mean, I don't know. Anybody see how did Fox handle the cartoon? They probably animated it. You know? Yeah. And what I can't wait for is, you know, Trey, I think, is in Vegas now. But if Trey and Matt are doing South Park, I got a feeling that you're going to see Muhammad
you think we're gonna see this
dancing
cartoon?
With dynamite on his head very, very soon, you know, because you don't mess with the South Park guys. South Park guys, for my money, are really true patriotic Americans.
They sure are.
Along with Jefferson.
Maybe they'll be on a nickel someday.
Wouldn't that be great, the South Park nickel?
I'd collect them. Collect the whole series. So there's only two.
Well, no, you could also do the Cartman, the Cartman nickel. Oh, yeah. That would be so great.
You did everybody on the show, you'd get it to about 40 cents. And you could have the whole collection. That would be great.
Are we got another call?
Take a Jim on line 6.
Hey, Jim, man, how you doing?
He's coming up.
Hey, great.
Good. What's up?
Yeah, this whole political correctness thing, it just drives me crazy. I mean, today, you know, you couldn't even have a show like Hogan's Heroes on the air. I mean, they were making fun of the Germans, showing them, you know, as stupid, whatever, and everyone thought that was humor. Nowadays, you're trying to say something about your enemy. We got to realize it's an enemy. You know, propaganda is part of a war.
That's something you don't want to say, but it's very hard to argue with them. My brain is spinning trying to figure out how to argue with
them.
We've
made fun of our enemies historically.
I think that's the least you can do. It's the least you can do is to make fun of your enemies. The very least you can do. I don't know. But what I was kind of derailed by was the view that Hogan's Heroes mostly made fun of Germans. The people that I knew that were offended by Hogan's Heroes, it was all making light of concentration camps.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
There's a lot of things on Hogan's Heroes. And when you're growing up with Hogan's Heroes, I mean, you're about the same age as I am.
My mom would not let me watch Hogan's Heroes.
Is that true?
That is true.
That is true. So you had some awareness that there was something goofy
yes,
about it.
Yes. Yeah. I still did. But I was not allowed to.
You just, you know, your mom listens to the show.
I know she does. Sorry, Mom. I was sneaking Hogan's Heroes.
You're in big
trouble. I wasn't drinking or doing drugs, but Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, I didn't even know. You know, I didn't even know. I mean, I lived, I'm from Greenfield, Massachusetts, and we had, I think, probably one or two Jewish families in the whole town. We had one or two black families in the whole town. There were just Catholics and Protestants. That was the city. I'm certainly exaggerating that. I know someone's going to call in from Greenfield. My sister's going to say, you know, there were 100 families. But, you know, I'm kind of like the guy rounding off pi. To me, 100, 1, they're the same number.
Same number.
I didn't even know. You know, I didn't even know. And I'd watch Hogan's Heroes. It was just this funny, goofy show. And then in high school.
Gosh, I wish I was in a concentration camp. We can hang with these cool guys and have tunnels. Oh, it'd be great. We'll make fun of our captors behind their back.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd have, you know, DeBow. Was that his name? No.
LeBow.
Not DeBow. And then in high school, I started dating, you know, there were, you know, as I said, very few Jewish families in our little town. And I started dating, one of my first girlfriends, was one of the very few, Jewish families in, I wasn't dating the whole family. And, you know, we were talking about culture like you do with your girlfriend to pass time between trying to have sex. And we were talking about, you know,
what?
Well, you talk when you're in high school, right. Everything you do is just wasting time until you can get to sex, right?
Okay.
Isn't that it?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure to clarify that's what you said.
I mean,
said.
Isn't that a biological imperative? I mean, if that weren't the case, we would not be here. What's that?
It used to be a full-time job.
Yeah, I think it is. It has to be a full-time job. It has to be. And you're not going to have cultural references get in the way. But I ended up, as part of my debonair seduction style, talking about Hogan's Heroes. Boy, that DeBow is funny. LeBow. And she said she wasn't allowed to watch Hogan's Heroes. And
was it my sister?
I said,
the story's turned ugly.
I said, why? You know, I had no idea whatsoever why. And it had to be explained to me that concentration camps weren't funny. But it was also the same time.
Because you had seen them, and they were clearly funny.
Really funny. Really funny. You know, my history of World War II.
Hogan. I did an impersonation. That's the first.
he came to our show. Warner Kempler. Warner Kempler came to our show. Colonel Klink.
You know, you're so close on these names. I love it.
What is it?
I don't know, but I know it's not that, and it's someone will write in.
It's not Warner Kempler?
No.
Kempler?
I don't think that, but you can keep trying.
Warner Kempler.
We can do the rest of the show waiting until someone emails us.
And that'll be our Monday show, correcting my pronunciation. He came to our show. You know, and we've had a lot of people come to our show. You know, Bob Dylan, sure. Andy Warhol, Lou Reed, you know, people that I just worshipped have come to the show. And people that caused riots, you know, Madonna, Springsteen.
We had Scotty. From Star Trek.
Okay, good. See? And you get really excited. But, boy, when Werner Kempler, or whatever his name is, comes up and shakes your hand and says he liked the show, you go out of your mind. I just went crazy, you know? I mean, he was, and, you know, he was a classical music conductor. You know, what he really was, what he was his first passion was conducting. You think I'm making this up?
I do think you're making this up. Although he did wave his arms a lot as Colonel Klink.
Okay, smarty pants.
Someone will
answer
this.
You go to Google. Go to our good friend Google, and you put in Warner Kempler, and you will see that Warner Kempler, and I have nothing in front of me here. All I have in front of me is my notes. I have no browser window. I have a browser window open, but it's filled with Frosty the Snowman. This is off the top of my head. Some people think Penn Jillette knows nothing. Well, I'll tell you. His name is Warner Kempler. He was Jewish. Okay? He is now dead, and he was a conductor, and his first passion was music. Now, look at me. Look at me.
Huh? Yeah, I can't look it up and look at you at the same time. Okay. Choose one or the other.
Go, take your coon ass, and go.
Klemperer. Werner Klemperer.
Close enough. Klemperer.
We're moving forward.
That's what I said. You know, the tape will show I said Klemperer.
Yes, of course.
Warner Kempler. Kempler. You know, when you slur it, Kempler. Kempler. Okay, go ahead. Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas, Kempler. Okay, and what else do you find out?
That's all I found out. I found out the spelling of his name. I'm not that far along yet.
Okay. Well,
you keep telling me to look at you
already
and type at the same time.
Don't you touch type? You don't touch type?
Yes, I do.
It's phenomenal the number of people that work on computers and don't touch type. It's not the problem with the typing. The problem you're having is trying to look at the screen while I'm trying to get your attention.
Yes.
The clock is running. You know, our show is going to be over. You're not going to vindicate me as being exactly accurate on everything about Colonel Klink. And don't you dare tell me he didn't come to our show. He did. It was in the L.A. show. He came to the show, and I was giddy. I was dizzy. I was excited. I was thrilled.
Don Knotts came to my show, and I felt the same way.
Don Knotts
knocked me out.
Big deal. And I always wanted Larry Hovis to come to my show.
Yeah, apparently he was a conductor.
Yes! Read it!
I just have that information. I just have conductor. He was a conductor.
Not on a train, either.
I'm on the, you know,
you're gonna get
International Movie Database, and it doesn't say much about it.
What else was he in? What else did Warner?
Well, he apparently did some Simpson episodes.
He did?
Yeah.
He did his own voice?
Law and Order.
He was in Law and Order?
Law and Order.
Yes, he was. I might have seen that Law and Order. Yes, he was.
Sure.
But we're going to find out more.
The Return of the Beverly Hillbillies.
That's the whole thing. They just throw everything in together. They don't care at all. Next week, Chris Angel, Monday, will be clearing up this whole Hogan's Heroes thing and taking calls for Jack. Tuesday will be Chris Angel, and I'm going to ambush him like a puma.
Puma.
And Wednesday is going to be Kinky Friedman, the future governor of Texas. Thursday will be Bob Gorn Revere. And all next week, I will be Penn Jillette, and he will be Michael Goudeau here on Free FM.